Got something in my throat. It's gone. Okay. It evaporated.
Well, hey, all you lovers out there.
Oh, yeah. Hello. What's up? Lovers?
Yeah.
Oh. Are we changing formats?
Yeah, we're going to be a little bit more sultry on this podcast going forward.
Do I sound sultry right now?
No.
What about now?
Yes.
All right, ladies. All right, all you lovers out there. This is Al Green with Still in Love with You. We'll be back in about 3 minutes and 59 seconds. Just enough time to get the business done. I don't know how long that song is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be enough time, though.
We should ask Al Green, since he's still alive.
He's still alive, and he's still in love with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's another week where I don't have an Al Green button to press.
Damn it. So, yeah, welcome to the Raincoat Report. This is Boss here with Jeremy.
Hello, and what a hellish month that was we just went through.
Yes, 5 whole weeks of fright.
I'm being targeted by many satanic cults now.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You tried to blow the whistle, and...
They keep leaving pumpkins full of shit in my driveway.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It is. And they also, they hung up a sheet outside my window and it looked like a ghost. And I got scared and my hair turned white.
Well, shit.
Yeah. Do you see it?
Yeah. It's all the white hair.
Yeah. I look like Santa Claus now.
I thought you just suddenly got real old.
That's coming. I think I feel it.
Yeah.
Feeling my gall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's kicking up again.
Well.
What are you going to do? You know?
Well, good luck.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it'll be fine. And I think we just leave our troubles in the past as we slip into silk.
Yes.
So let's get comfortable after a month of frights.
Yes. This week we take a step back from fright and slip into silk.
Yes.
This is a film from 1985, directed by R. Michael Stringer, starring the lovely and talented Kelly Nichols.
Yes, star of such films, or appearing in such films, I suppose, as Corruption.
Yeah.
Public Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we've done Climax, which we've covered recently, I believe.
Yeah.
And a whole host of other films.
Yeah, I think this might be the first film we've covered where she's like the lead in it, though.
I believe so. Oh, she was also in our first episode's film, Dixie Ray Hollywood Star.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's called Murder Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still have not got my George Costanza impression down all these years later.
But she is not alone in this endeavor. She's joined by Eric Edwards.
She's in one called Once Upon a Secretary, and I want to see that one. That one sounds fun.
Yeah.
Also, Wine Me, Dine Me, 69 Me. These sound delightful.
Yes, they do. Alongside Eric Edwards, we have Tom Byron, who we recently saw in The Possession of Miss Hyde.
Yes, a very young Tom Byron.
Yes, he is very young in this one.
He's baby-faced.
Also joining them, Laurie Smith and Janie Robbins, who I don't feel like we've seen much of, if at all. But in unnamed roles, we also have Gina Carrera, who played Tammy the Tongue in mm-hmm. Stiff Competition.
Oh, yes.
And Mike Horner, who's in, like, everything.
Yeah, he just likes to pop up. You know him by his mustache.
But this is also the return, after many weeks,
mm-hmm.
of the legend himself, Jamie Gillis.
Oh, yes.
It has been a long time since we've had Jamie Gillis on this show.
Yeah, it's been tough getting to him through his agent. He has been on vacation in the, the Mediterranean.
But he's back.
I got him. I got him right here.
Oh, that's my cat, Yoshi.
Yeah, I love him, but he doesn't love me.
He's mean as hell.
That's fine. Goodbye, Yoshi. That wasn't Jamie Gillis, people. I'm sorry.
No, Jamie Gillis has passed on many moons ago.
Him and Herschel Savage are up there now doing the Waltz of the Bat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shoving girls' heads in toilets.
Is John Leslie still alive?
Maybe, but Harry Reams is dead, so the Slut Brothers are already together.
Well, that's good.
But, man, I want to get, like, you know when you go to, like, a flea market or whatever, and you just see, like, the just truly terrible, like, paintings of different, like, mashups of genres of things? Mm-hmm. Like, you'll get, obviously, like, a Godfather-type painting is, like, the normal, but you'll get, like, five Jokers or...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, the Avengers or something in their place. I need all of the great male porn stars of the era to be kind of just gathered together in a kind of chintzy sort of art style. A bit airbrushed, a bit digital, hanging in my den.
Yeah, smoking, that sounds amazing.
Smoking cigars, maybe. That's a classic for, like, tough dudes.
Yeah.
Have a little brown. But all their dicks are out. It's a measuring contest.
John Leslie passed away in 2010.
Yeah, we took him out with one of our Stinger missiles.
Joey Silvera is still alive, though.
Okay. Well, I don't want anyone to accuse me of anything. I don't want to besmirch the living name. Are you checking to make sure he's still alive?
Yes. yes, he is still alive.
Yeah, I just saw him at the laundromat.
Okay.
He was trying to bum quarters off me.
He is 71 years old.
Yeah, he's broke and is trying to take my quarters. I gave him slugs and he got mad.
So, in this film, Kelly Nichols plays Silk, the host of Slip Into Silk, the very popular radio show. This is the second adult film that we've watched that stars a woman who runs a radio show after, of course, Tasty with Hyapatia Lee.
Mm-hmm. And is there another one with a radio station?
There may be more with a radio station, but I don't recall.
Oh, there's definitely another one. I'm going to find it. I'll be back.
Okay. Anyhow... yeah, Kelly Nichols as Silk.
Yeah.
Very popular radio personality.
Very popular. I know that conservative radio duo Diamond and Silk, or web duo, one of them died. I think it was Diamond.
Oh.
So I think it's time for her to rebrand. It's time for her to get sultry. Not be so upset about the problems of the world.
Yeah, she just needs to slip into Silk.
She just needs to slip into Silk, get herself a nice... a martini, perhaps?
Yeah.
Highball? A little bit of Night Train? You know, something good and nice box wine, perhaps.
But yeah, let's slip into Silk.
We're going to do it.
So let's go ahead. We'll take a break and then we'll be back to slip into Silk.
I'll have a noise of like slipping. So just go to break. I'm sad.
That lady sings the blues like she's been there. And she takes you right along with her. It's rap time now. Time for one more drink, one last kiss, and then to sleep. It's been a good night here. We hope you had a good one, too. We love to be with you. Love the music. Talk, the good loving. So remember, any night is a fine night when you and your special someone can slip into Silk.
I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm like Bono.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm Irish, aren't I? No, I'm not Irish, but I feel like there was another film about a radio station that wasn't Tasty, but my dig back into the archives is slow going, and I just want to get the show on the road, you know?
Well, let's get the show on the road and talk a little bit about Slip Into Silk.
Okay. Yeah, that's the movie we're talking about. I should just be focused on the present
yeah.
and not the past.
onwards and upwards into the future, like 1985 Slip into Silk.
Mm-hmm. You love saying that title.
Yeah.
It's nice. This one was in my notes for a while, I think, from a trailer compilation you had.
Yeah.
I think probably the Vinegar Syndrome one, but they just recently put it out, so.
No, it would have been from the 42nd Street Forever trailer compilation.
Okay, okay.
There was an X-rated version of that.
Gotcha. I don't know. I just click play.
Yeah. The Vinegar Syndrome one was just stuff that they had put out at the time.
Gotcha. I just lived for the moment.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it was on that, and Vinegar Syndrome did just put it out, so my facts are mostly correct.
Yes.
And that's good enough for the Raincoat Report.
Yeah. Mostly correct is a high bar for us.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I was never good at the pull-ups in high school, and I can't even imagine trying to do one now.
Oh, yeah, forget about it. My arms would detach.
My body would just, like, stretch in half, and my guts would fall out of the bottom. Yeah. I think I'm rotted, like an old pumpkin full of shit. I'm not throwing those away. I'm leaving those there until the police respond to my calls.
they're just gonna rot and spill out onto the driveway.
I think it'll make like its own kind of like pie eventually, you know. It'll just sort of bake
in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Sweet November sun.
So we open on shots of San Francisco at night as we get our cast credits on screen, and we cut to Silk Kelly Nichols in the studio. She, every time she like talks to the radio audience, she says a lot of words and, sweet talks the audience. And, I don't get a whole lot of quotes from it because she's just talking and not saying a lot.
She's just a stream of consciousness of sweet sounding nothings. There's like Lila on the radio that we have here. Maybe it's like a nationally syndicated thing,
mm-hmm.
but it was something similar to this. I feel like,
yeah,
just a lady kind of sweet talking you and some soft jams. And then like sometimes a guy would come on and they would have like relationship advice, and he would sound like an Italian male model.
Oh.
It's radio, so you can't see him, but yeah, you know, he has that voice. It's slippery olive oil voice.
Well, she comments on the blues song that just played and says goodnight to the audience, reminding them that every night is a good night when you and a special someone can slip into Silk. As they wrap up, Charlie, played by Tom Byron, he's the engineer at the radio station, he asks Silk out for a drink. Silk tells him not tonight. She has other plans. It's soon confirmed that these other plans are with Mike, played by Eric Edwards, who joins Silk, touching on her and unbuttoning her top as Charlie's turning off the lights and closing up shop. Charlie watches as Mike reveals Silk's breasts and starts to grab and squeeze them. Mike sits Silk up on the desk nearby and starts to look at her panties, rubbing his fingers under them before pulling them aside to start to lick Silk's clit. He continues to lick and finger her for a bit to a positive reaction, as you would expect. She encourages him to suck her and to bite it, amongst other moans. She gets off and tells him that was hot as we see Charlie walk away. Mike sits with Silk on a nearby couch. Apparently, some executive, Monahan, Harry Monahan, we would later learn, played by Jamie Gillis, he wants to replace Silk with some young bimbo. Silk notes her ratings are through the roof and making Monahan a bunch of money. He could never replace her. Mike says the guy isn't worried about making money. It's all an ego trip for him. Silk asks what she needs to do, and Mike assures her that they're in this together. Silk wants him in this, and they soon undress. Silk lays back on the couch and rubs Mike's crotch through his underwear before pulling them down enough to start sucking his cock. She tells him to jam it in her mouth, and he begins to mouth fuck her. We cut to Mike fucking her as she lays back on the couch. Both are still wearing their underwear, just pulled aside enough to fuck. Mike soon pulls out and comes all over Silk's panties and legs and hands. We then cut to an office where we're introduced to Harry Monahan, played by Jamie Gillis. He's approached by Sylvia, played by Janie Robbins, who asks what he's reading. Harry explains it's the ratings, and they show that half the universe is listening to Silk. Sylvia says...
It's going to be tough to replace her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sylvia says that she thought that Harry promised her Silk's spot, and Harry tells her it's complicated. Sylvia says she's talented, and Harry tells her her talents aren't on the radio, and he decides that now he wants to enjoy her talents. Yes. Sylvia asks Harry how bad he wants it, and he tells her he wants it so bad that if she doesn't give it to him, he's going to send her back to the massage parlor he found her at.
Nice. He's a classy guy.
She says, "I think you mean it." And Harry says, "For someone who doesn't know how to think, you think good." Sylvia bends over and starts to suck Harry's cock. Harry stands up and slides down his pants. He strokes his cock while Sylvia licks his balls. He fucks her mouth for a bit before going back to stroking while she licks his balls. He sits back on the chair and stretches her mouth out with his fingers.
Yeah, his little fish hooking is what they call that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before grabbing her head and having her suck his cock more. She licks and sucks his cock and balls for a bit here. "Let me see your tits," he says, helping her slide off her top.
"Wow, look at those tits."
He tells her to open her mouth, and she demands that he let her have it. He slaps her face and tells her she can have it when he tells her she can have it.
He's real bossy and mean in this one.
Yes, he is. He stuffs it into her mouth more before having her stand up and show him her ass as he strokes his cock. Harry has Sylvia sit on the ground and open her mouth as he strokes his cock. And he finally erupts all over Sylvia's face and mouth, stuffing his cock in her mouth again afterwards. Harry sits back in his chair and caresses Sylvia's face a bit afterwards. We then cut to Laura, played by Laurie Smith, who is the secretary, I guess, in Mr. Monahan's office. She takes a phone call from Mr. Monahan and grabs a folder and takes off walking. Laura runs into Charlie as she's walking down the hallway, who stops and flirts with her. Charlie tells her she looks good enough to bite. Laura says that's fine as long as there are no visible marks. Laura suggests that maybe a fuck is easier, but he'll have to settle for a sample. She has to get these papers to Silk to sign. Charlie feels up Laura for a few moments before she tells him the sample is over and she has to go.
Yeah, that's it.
So Charlie invites her to dinner later, and Laura agrees and takes off. So we see Laura arrive at Silk's place, giving her the papers to sign for Mr. Monahan. Laura tells Silk that she looks like she lost her best friend, and Silk says she hasn't lost her friend, but she may have lost her job. Laura says that can't be. She's seen the ratings, and Silk says it's about what she's not doing for Mr. Monahan. Laura says that Sylvia, she can barely speak English, and they joke about her potentially being the only radio show with subtitles.
I don't know, ours needs them sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
It would help.
Yeah. Laura talks about Sylvia being dumb, and Silk says that Sylvia wants what Silk has, Harry wants what Sylvia has, and they get what they want, and Silk gets shit.
Yeah, just like me.
Yes, and pumpkins.
Yeah.
Laura tells Silk that she has her back before they finish up, and Laura leaves Silk alone smoking a cigarette. We cut to later, and Laura and Charlie are at a table together, seemingly after dinner. They joke a bit, and Laura says that she's going to slip into something more comfortable. Charlie is left alone, and the scene fades away in a wavy pattern to what appears to be a fantasy. We see Laura sitting on the bathroom counter playing with herself through a pair of panties. She's talking about how now she has the perfect outfit for Charlie. And we see in this fantasy, Charlie opens the door and watches her as she plays with herself for a minute. We get another wavy transition back to reality, and Charlie's sitting on a love seat waiting around. He then stands up and undresses completely naked, throwing his clothes aside. in the other room, we see Laura changing clothes. Laura walks out in a shorter pink outfit with black panties on under it. Charlie says, "I got into something comfortable too, a hard-on." So I thought that this scene was going to be her coming out and just being shocked because she didn't have this in mind at all.
Yeah.
But that was not what happened here. There was no twist.
No, there was no twist, but I kind of expected that as well. But also she was just letting him fondle her in the office earlier, so.
Yeah, yeah.
She knows the game, you know?
Yeah. Charlie says Laura looks nice and is grabbing his cock as Laura puts her leg up on the back of the couch and tells him to sniff. She asks if he likes her panties, pulling away a bit as he gets close. Laura soon gets on the love seat with Charlie and begins to suck his cock. As she's sucking, Charlie reaches underneath to finger Laura. As this BJ is going on, we cut to Silk talking about lovers on the radio, giving her sweet-talking radio chatter. Mm-hmm. We then cut to a fancy shower in a full bathtub. The shower head is really on.
The shower, you know, it's on. It is a fancy bathtub. I don't like the tile color.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a dark brown, and it's very, like, cavernous in there.
But in there, we have Mike Horner and Gina Carrera.
Yep, who are just some radio fans, I believe.
Yeah, they're naked and making out and listening to Silk and getting all horny.
Yeah.
They grind a bit before Gina lays back and Mike pushes his cock inside her and starts to fuck her. We cut back to Silk on the radio soliciting requests to the request line before cutting back to Laura rubbing Charlie's dick with her feet, asking him if he's heard about Silk being replaced. He seems surprised that Monahan would use Sylvia to replace Silk, but Laura shares that both Silk and Mike think that's happening. Laura seems heartbroken that something so bad could happen to someone so great like Silk. Charlie asks if this is sympathy or sex, and Laura says she'd be tempted for sex with Silk.
Hmm.
Charlie suggests that despite him not being a murderer, instead being a lover, perhaps some sort of blackmail could work. He knows that Harry's been having sex with Sylvia all over the office. He suggests that they rig a video camera and a light fixture. He plans to give Laura a remote control so she can turn on the camera whenever Sylvia goes into Monahan's office. Laura says, "Let's do it." And Charlie says that he thought she'd never ask, and he starts to go down on Laura as Silk does another radio read about playing a song with the sound to bring her around even faster.
That's the one.
Yep.
All the kids are singing it.
Back at Mike Horner's place, he's getting sucked off by Tammy the Tongue into the tub. The shower head is now off. Charlie's still going down on Laura for a bit before she tells him that she wants him to fuck her so bad. So Charlie climbs up on the couch and starts to fuck Laura as she lays back. After a minute, Charlie pulls out and Laura strokes his cock, finishing him off onto Laura's stomach and pubes and chest and even the couch.
Yeah.
Back in the office.
Fat ropes.
Yeah. Send it back to Rent-A-Center.
They cannot.
Sir, I know loads when I see them. We're not taking this back.
Yeah, I've seen a look at this, and I can tell this is a load. I see you tried to Febreze it out. That's not going to work. This is ruined.
Back in the office the next day, Laura's sneakily asking Charlie if he's finished in Mr. Monahan's office. He says he's almost done, just as Harry walks in. And Laura mentions that Charlie is almost done in his office fixing an overhead light. Harry tells Laura to take 20 minutes and leave. She doesn't. Just as Sylvia walks in. We cut to Sylvia in Harry's office. She's messing with a shelf full of radios before sitting down in Harry's chair.
She's sort of dressed like a bag of Wonder Bread. This kind of strange white polka dot outfit.
Yeah.
It's not flattering, I'll say.
Yeah. We see Harry's head rise up from under the desk, kissing Sylvia's legs before he starts to kiss the outside of her panties. Sylvia does her makeup as this is going on. We see Laura pull out a remote and hit a button before going back to typing on the typewriter. We cut back to Harry pulling down Sylvia's panties as she's bent over, kissing and eating her out from behind. Harry pulls out his cock and mounts Sylvia from behind as she pulls out some gum and starts to chew it. She isn't reacting at all to Harry as he's fucking her. After a minute, she tells Harry that she wants him to take her to lunch. He tells her in a minute, but Sylvia says she's hungry now and stands up and pulls away from him.
I don't understand. Earlier, he was really treating her like a bimbo, but now he's like, ooh, I'm a little goofy guy.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing has changed, really. Yeah,
the dynamic has switched.
They recover themselves and leave to go out to lunch. Laura picks up the phone and tells Charlie they're gone. We then cut to Silk looking sadly out a window. We cut back to Charlie and Laura, and they're watching the tape. Laura says it's disgusting. Charlie asks what she thinks they look like when they're doing it, and Laura says that she hopes that at least they look like they're enjoying it. Charlie gives some joking commentary as they're watching the tape before they decide to eject it. We cut to Laura joining Silk at her place. Laura explains what happened with the video camera and produces the tape of the two lovebirds, as she puts it, and suggests that this might even things up a little bit. Silk says that Laura and Charlie are great and says that if she could kiss both of them, she would. In fact, she says, I think I will. Silk joins Laura on the couch she's on and begins to passionately kiss her before starting to undress herself. Laura seems a bit hesitant, but Silk tells her to relax and close her eyes. I'm just gonna make you come. Silk unbuttons Laura's top and caresses her breasts, telling her how beautiful she looks. Silk tells her that she's going to try a few things and tells Laura to let her know if she doesn't like anything, and to let her know if she likes things as well. Laura seems a bit worried, but Silk tells her it's just to make her feel good. Silk starts to slowly feel Laura's vagina, and then upon confirming Laura likes it, Silk begins to lick her clit. There's a lot of back and forth chatter between the two as Silk's going down on Laura. Silk begins to finger Laura. Laura tells Silk how beautiful she thinks she is. Silk leans over and goes down on Laura more, and we eventually fade out. We cut back to Silk alone at her place. She picks up the phone and calls Mike, telling him they lucked out, telling him about the videotape and telling him to come over. We then cut to some sort of party. We start outdoors and a bunch of people are socializing.
It's a weird new wave garden party.
Yeah.
Everyone's in slightly strange outfits.
Yeah. We see Harry there with Sylvia. Laura's there with Charlie. Harry encourages Sylvia to go talk to some network executive to get in his good graces. So we see her chat with this guy a bit. And he is unimpressed with her confused rambling about ratings that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But he is impressed by her ass when she turns around.
Yeah, he looks like he's about to stroke out when he sees her ass.
Yeah. We then see Harry talking to that executive inside, asking what he thinks about Sylvia. The executive says that she's beautiful, and she has a lot to say about the ratings. Mike then walks up and mentions, she does have a great set of tits, isn't that right, Harry?
What do you mean by that?
Yes. Silk tells him he knows what that means, and they have a presentation for anyone else that doesn't know what that means.
Yep, and here it goes.
Wow, look at those tits.
They put in the tape, and the executive is offended and shocked by what he sees, but keeps watching.
Yeah, as you must.
We don't get to see what's on the tape, although we kind of saw what was happening in real time.
Yeah, they just didn't actually, they started to have sex, but then they left, so they just saw him get, like, kind of, like, shut down.
Yeah. Silk and Mike chat a bit. Mike jokes about the animals at this party, and Silk is a bit sad that they had to go this far to save her job. The executive turns around and tells Silk that she's magnificent and truly a star before he leaves. We then cut back to the radio station, where Silk, Mike, Laura, and Charlie are all sharing a drink, celebrating their success. Silk tells Mike they weren't able to thank Laura and Charlie properly, and Mike suggests they take care of that now. So Silk gets on her knees in front of Charlie and unzips his pants. Mike kisses Laura and carries her over to a desk nearby and starts to caress her breasts. We cut back to Silk, who's sucking Charlie's cock. She says she wanted to think of an appropriate way of thanking him, and Charlie says she's doing just fine. Mike has Laura bent over the desk and is fucking her in a standing doggy position. Laura seems to be quite enjoying this as well. We hear Silk on the radio saying that as we hear this, she and three of her friends are making love. Tonight, there is no right or wrong. Tonight, there is just good friends, good fun, good fucking, and just slipping into Silk. As Laura's laying back on the desk, Mike continues to fuck her.
I don't see how this doesn't get her thrown off the radio.
We then cut to Mike fucking Laura on a couch. He pulls out and comes on her vagina before pushing back into her and fucking her more. Meanwhile, Charlie is also fucking Silk as she sits upright on a counter. Mike fucks Laura in a standing doggy position as she leans next to the soundboard. I thought that she was going to accidentally push a button and like moan into the radio or something, but that did not happen either.
I think it's all mic'd up, right? I think they can just hear him fucking.
Maybe.
I assume that's what was happening. Unless they're maybe playing like a real long one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
This fucking continues around the room for a few minutes. As Charlie fucks Silk, Laura caresses his back. Eventually, Charlie pulls out and comes as Laura licks and sucks his cock, and the three of them kiss. We get an outside shot of the studio, then more shots of the streets of San Francisco at night as we get our credits. And that was Slip Into Silk.
That was comforting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I slipped into Silk with you, boss.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're in our nice silk pajamas and we're getting ready for bed.
Yeah. Good friends slip into silk together.
Yeah. Good fucking.
Good friends, good fucking.
No. No rules, just right. You know? That's the Braincoat Report motto. We're going to have to go to court on probably that last part. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to consult the lawyers while we're at break.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll make some phone calls, and then we'll be back to give our final thoughts on Slip Into Silk.
This show is a Sullivan special, strictly for the immoral minority. As you hear this, three friends of mine and I are making love to each other. We kiss, we touch, we fondle, we stroke, we caress. We are taking pleasure from each other and giving pleasure to each other. Just for the love of pleasure. Tonight there is no right or wrong. Tonight there is just good friends, good fun, good fucking, and you're slipping into silk.
We're back on the Raincoat Report. We've slipped into silk.
Just had some loose meats.
Jeremy's had some loose meats.
It was delicious. Thank you for serving me those meats.
You're welcome. And it's time once again for us to slip into
the Raincoat Review.
I was trying to log back in.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so we slipped right in. We didn't even know. It was so seamless, wasn't it?
So silky.
You need to just keep that whole pause in. Yeah. So this is a nice return to form for us, I think, from all the weird stuff we've been watching.
Yeah.
So this is a nice piece of mid-80s erotica. This one seems to be more geared towards that kind of couples film genre.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not too filthy. The sex is pleasant and very well shot.
Yeah.
Nicely shot. Good chemistry between most of the players, as you might call them. So I think it does succeed as an erotic film. As a structured film, there's plot there, but I feel like Silk really takes a backseat in her own story.
Yeah.
It's
more of a caper story, but with Laura and Charlie.
Yeah, they're just having a goofball time, and that might be partly because the running time on this is like just an hour and 15.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts. So not too much time to develop the story, but what is there is a serviceable little tale about having to play dirty to keep ahead in the corporate cutthroat corporate world of the 80s. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good there. It is always kind of a bummer when a title character gets sidelined in their own film, like and go back to Lila. Layla.
Yeah.
Arlo's song. Remember?
Oh, yeah, Arlo's song.
Yeah, it was about Arlo.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, I would say they could have probably written her part a bit better, but I do think she handles being the leading lady pretty well.
Yeah.
She's certainly attractive. I would have liked to see a little bit more of her and Eric Edwards together.
Yeah.
They were a pretty solid couple, and it would have been nice for them to maybe get one other solo scene together.
Sure.
Somewhere in there. Something to flesh her character out a bit, maybe get her involved in the plot.
Mm-hmm.
But picking all that apart, this is definitely an enjoyable film. I would say it's an above average piece of pornographic work, especially for the era when we were starting to slip into video.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like the classics. I like when we hit all the good notes. You know, it's like radio.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I would give it a 3.5 stars ultimately. Okay. It is a tale as old as time, a song as old as rhyme. Throw it over to Boss.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Slip into Silka's. It's a fun little movie. We've got a good cast of characters. I was happy to see Jamie Gillis back again, but he doesn't really get a whole lot.
Yeah, I think he gets kind of undervalued.
Yeah, he does get a good scumbag sex scene to start with, which is, you know, one of his strong suits.
Yeah, I was expecting his character to stay more like that, but the rest of the film, he is a bit limp.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
But Kelly Nichols is good here, if, again, underutilized. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of Laura, Laurie Smith, who we haven't seen a ton of in the past, but she certainly carries her role here and does really well along with Tom Byron.
Mm-hmm. As I said before, very fresh-faced Tom Byron. He plays his role as Charlie well, so weird little dork who works at the radio station.
Yeah. I'll say that I think this film, I think I had higher expectations of it in the sense that I was hoping that it would either be more comedic or more filthy. And it's kind of, like you said, kind of shooting for that like couples market, which is a good thing. We should have probably more porn films like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it didn't tickle my fancy as much as I was hoping it would.
Sure.
The story, there's a plot progression there, but not a lot really happens over the course of the film. There's a lot of Silk just staring at her window, sadly.
Yeah.
And
she's just like me. She's a prisoner in her own home.
Looking out her window at the pumpkins in her driveway.
Watching them rot away, seeing the now like visible stink lines and flies over them.
That's why she didn't go to work for several days.
Yeah.
She couldn't back her car out of the driveway.
It's not parking the street now.
But, you know, we have the one caper with Charlie and Laura, or Lori, and that's about it.
Yeah,
and
it's a bit threadbare,
but
skeletal.
The sex scenes are good. There's good chemistry with both Charlie and Lori and Silk and Mike and their swinging scene at the end. They have good chemistry there as well, so that's fun.
Yeah, I think there's solid cinematography throughout, like setting up the scenes and stuff like that.
I did think that it was weird that the sex scenes don't have a ton of music in them.
Not a ton, and they're a bit, they're kind of static in some spots as well, like where the camera doesn't move a ton.
Yeah.
But it sort of works with the kind of like, they kind of get like a Wes Anderson symmetry kind of thing going on in some of them. I'm thinking probably specifically of the love scene section, or the love cap, the love seat.
Oh, okay.
Scene with Lori and Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So
amazing things.
Yeah, but
try not to say interesting. We need more better words. Let's all get thesauruses.
But at the end of the day, I give this 3 stars.
Yeah.
I like it. If there was more to the narrative, I think I would like it. If it was a little more funny or a little more filthy, or there was a little more Jamie Gillis being a creep, all of those things would elevate it a little bit more for me. But it's a well-made film and it's worth watching.
Yeah. I think really we don't really ever ding movies for not being long enough, but sometimes it would be a movie is good, but if there was just a little more meat on the bones, that would really, you know, rocket it up.
Yeah, for sure.
And sometimes it seems like they're going to go there, and this film seemed like it had like that kind of potential. Like you said, you were let down a bit, and I do think maybe like an extra 15 or 20 minutes really could have added to what we get here, and probably put it, you know, in the 4 range.
Yeah, and like the Harry and Sylvia get shown up by them showing a video at a party or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was a lot more room for there to be some back and forth between Harry and Sylvia and Silk. In fact, one funny reading you could have of the film is that Harry never meant to replace Silk with Sylvia.
All just lies.
Yeah.
Just string her along.
It was lies to Sylvia to string her along. And ultimately, Harry would have never done that to Silk, and he was ruined.
Yeah.
Just because of some rumors started by Mike. Although, I guess the rumors would be based on the fact that Harry did tell Sylvia those things. But he also said that she was dumb.
Yeah, and he should have known that she ran her mouth, because he met her at a massage parlor. And
that's a good point.
That she was probably jawing the whole time when, you know, she wasn't flapping her gums the other way.
Oh, yeah. Always flapping her gums one way or another.
Yeah, one way or another, she'll send them flapping. That's that's not Tammy the Tongue.
Tammy the Tongue was the unnamed lady in the shower.
Why were they there? Just because they had a scene with Mike Horner that shot.
Yeah.
it's worth a watch. I would say that this week, though, since it was kind of a ride right down the middle, there were no bonks of the week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play us out to the sweet sounds of hammers. Don't forget to follow us on Raincoat Report at Instagram, Twitter, Patreon. New episode this Friday.
Yes. Pornhub Halloween competition this Friday.
Yeah. You'll see sites. You'll know what sites we have to show you.
Yes, I have such sites to show you, Jeremy.
And don't forget your raincoat.